If you've ever had a hero, you know how easy it could be to build that hero into something bigger than life, that if you ever had the chance to meet that person, might be impossible to measure up to. Well, the opposite was the case with Pete Seeger. I met him the first time in 1985, and he was much greater than I had anticipated. And through the years, has encouraged my songwriting, and we would meet from time to time. But you all know he was a banjo player, protest singer, songwriter, author, award winner. At the front of social movements, from labor to anti-apartheid, civil rights. A folklorist, communist, peace activist, environmentalist, Unitarian Universalist. He was a member of the Community Church of New York. Born to faculty members of the Juilliard School of Music, his dad, Charles, was a musicologist, and his mother, Constance, a concert violinist. As a teenager, he played tenor banjo in a school jazz band, and he thought maybe a career in journalism. But when he was 16 years old, he went with his dad to North Carolina to a festival, and he was introduced to folk dancing and folk music, and that changed the rest of his life. He fell in love with the old-fashioned five-string banjo and all the beautiful melodies on the banjo, but he said, above all, I liked the words. They seemed frank and straightforward and honest. And after some 80 years of singing all these folk songs, he said, the most important thing I try to get out of my concerts is a sense of participation. Well, there are many things I could tell you about Pete Seeger, but you know how to use Google. I could tell you he hit the road in 1938 after two unhappy years at Harvard. He traveled across the country. He would swap watercolor paintings for food and shelter. He met Woody Guthrie, and the two of them formed the Almanac Singers. I could tell you about the FBI already having a dossier on Pete when he was drafted in 1942 because of the pacifist songs he sang with the Almanac Singers. Or about the infamous Peekskill riot in 1949 when his car was stoned while he and his wife and three-year-old son were inside it. And you know about the popular success of the Weavers in the 1950s, the number one song in America, Goodnight Irene, and then how the rug was pulled out from under him with the blacklisting and red baiting. He was indicted by Congress in 1956, found guilty in 61, and then sentenced to 10 years in prison, only to have that dismissed the following year. And he's won a Grammy, Presidential Medal of Honors, a Kennedy Center Awards honor, and inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. A lot of things accomplished in his almost 95 years on this earth, but those would be the words of biographers and my words. Instead, what I'm going to do is give you his words, his thoughts, what he called apple seeds. For many years, he wrote a column for Sing Out magazine with that title, Apple Seeds. I'll sprinkle a few of them here and there, and maybe a few of them will take root and grow. Apple Seed number one, Johnny Appleseed Jr. Johnny Appleseed, the character of American folk history, was a real flesh and blood man. John Chapman, born 1776 in Massachusetts. When hardly out of his teens, he got wanderlust and joined other pioneers with their clumsy wagons lumbering over rocky forest trails to western Pennsylvania. And there, he hit upon the scheme of starting an apple nursery to supply farmers with their first orchards. He headed east to the cider mills and begged for the pressed pulp, separated and dried the seeds, and then started back with his precious cargo. Here, his story becomes unique. A deeply religious man, he had joined the Swedenborgian Church when a student. He scorned usual methods of business. Indeed, they wouldn't have worked out on the frontier. For 50 years, he traveled back and forth, trading a night's lodging for seeds or saplings. Many thought him eccentric. Thousands loved him, but all recognized the practicality of his system. He refused to carry a gun. He became friends with Native Americans and transmitted their lore of healing herbs to new settlers. He wrote letters for the illiterate. He was a librarian who loaned books as he traveled the roads. He became an abolitionist in later years, helping runaway slaves escape to Canada by the Underground Railroad. He never married and early on sold the only home he ever had. And after he died, such a legend sprung up about him that many today think he's just a myth. This column is dedicated to Johnny Appleseed Jr.'s, the thousands of boys and girls who today are using their guitars and their songs to plant seeds of a better tomorrow. They are lovers of folk songs and the best of our heritage of the past, and they're creating a new folklore, a basis for people's culture of tomorrow. For if the radio and the press and all the large channels of mass communication are closed to their songs of freedom, friendship, and peace, they must go from house to house, from school and camp to church and clam bake. Appleseed number two, the folk process. What is it in a thousand varieties of folk music that I find I like? The expertness of someone who has done something many times until he does it really well? Well, classically trained virtuosos can do this. Maybe it's the unpretentious honesty of someone who's doing something because he really loves doing it, not because he's being paid to do it or hopes to impress someone or because he thinks it's the latest thing to do. But a trained singer might have this also. Is it because this simplicity is something that I might be able to learn to do myself? Maybe it's the song reflecting a whole people, their strength, courage, will to live, their desire to stick together. I confess, I don't know for sure. Folk music is not so much a particular group of songs or singers, but rather an age-old process of ordinary people making their own music, reshaping old traditions to fit new situations. If you think of folk music as a process, you know that words and melodies may not be so important as the way they are sung or listened to. The process includes not only the song, but the singer and the listeners and their situation. So in this sense, a mountaineer singing pop songs to some neighbors in his cabin might have more folk music in it than a concert artist singing to a Carnegie Hall audience an ancient British ballad that he learned out of a book. The folk process occurs in cooking, with cooks rearranging recipes, and lawyers rearrange old laws to fit new citizens. If you look at it this way, then the true importance of folk music is to let ordinary folks change things. Give me that old-time religion, give me that old-time religion, give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. I arise at early morning when the sun gives me the warning that the solar age is dawning, and that's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion, it's good enough for me. Appleseed number three, making music. Putting out a book on how to play the banjo is part of a continual struggle to oppose the inhumanity of technology which capitalism foists on people. Oh, don't do anything creative yourself, just do your job and let the machine do the rest for you. But play a little music for yourself, you start making up songs for yourself, and the next thing you know, you'll be thinking for yourself. In ancient times, the artist inspired, entertained, and educated his fellow citizens, and modern artists have an additional responsibility, to encourage others to be artists. Why? because technology is going to destroy the human soul unless we realize that each of us must in some way be a creator as well as a consumer. Make your own music, write your own books, if you would keep your soul. Appleseed number four, history. When I was a teenager, I suddenly realized there was a whole lot of history, world history, that I'd never learned in school. The fact that there was such a thing as a labor movement got a little footnote somewhere. I didn't know about the 8-hour day struggle, or the women's rights struggle, or the fight against child labor. They were mentioned in passing. But it was clear to me that education had been planned not to encourage people to cause trouble. Appleseed number five, being American. Malcolm X once got into an argument with another black man as to whether they could call themselves Americans. "I'm not an American," said Malcolm. "Why do you think you are?" "I'm an American because I was born here," said his friend. "Well, you could put a shoe in an oven, but that wouldn't make it a biscuit," said Malcolm. I'm afraid I have no such easy answer. Some people live like an ostrich, bury their heads in the sand. Some hope that plastic dreams can unclench those greedy hands. One blue sky above us, one ocean lapping all our shores, one earth so green and round, who could ask for more? And because I love you, I'll give it one more try, to show my rainbow rays. It's too soon to die. Some wanna take the easy way. Poisons, bombs, they think we need them. Can't kill all the unbelievers. There's no shortcut to freedom. One blue sky above us, one ocean lapping all our shores. One earth so green and round, who could ask for more? And because I love you, I'll give it one more try, to show my rainbow race, it's too soon to die. Appleseed number six, being stewards. Who really owns America? The chief of a northwestern Indian tribe fighting for its fishing rights said, "We are the stewards of this land." Notice that we did not say we are the owners. The Great Spirit owns the earth. We are but his stewards. And so I say also, take it from an old blacklisted singer who has had to fight most of his life against people who wanted to make him an outcast in his own home. This land belongs to the hardworking people who love freedom. Woody Guthrie had a great verse which should be sung now. Was a great high wall there that tried to stop me? Was a great big sign that said, "Private property"? But on the other side, it didn't say nothing. That side was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. Appleseed number seven, will the environmental movement become a singing movement like civil rights did? Well, you can never tell. I'm not sure. I am hoping that some singers learn from Woody Guthrie's songs and make their songs simple. Who could think that this land is your land would be so well known? It was never plugged on the airwaves. It just went from one kid to another, school to summer camp to church, although it did take over 20 years. Environmentalists are like a few guys putting sand on one side of a scale with teaspoons, while on the other side, a lot of industrialists are loading boulders with dump trucks. You can never tell what might work if we had enough people with teaspoons. Sailing down my golden river, sun and water all my own. Yet I was never alone. Sun and water, O life givers, I'll have you where'er I roam. And I was not far from home. Sunlight glancing on the water, life and death are all my own. Yet I was never alone. Life to raise my sons and daughters, golden sparkles in the foam. And I was not far from home. Appleseed number 8, being communist. I'd like to say I'm more conservative than Barry Goldwater. He just wanted to turn the clock back to when there was no income tax. I want to turn the clock back to when people lived in small villages and took care of one another. My father, Charles, he got me into the communist movement, and then he backed out in 1938. I drifted out in the 50s. I apologize for following the party line so slavishly, for not seeing that Stalin was a supremely cruel misleader. I still call myself a communist because communism is no more what Russia made of it than Christianity is what the churches make of it. As my father used to say, the truth is a rabbit in a bramble patch. All you can do is circle around and say, it's in there somewhere. Words, words, words. On cracked old pages, how much of truth remains? If I only understood them, and if my life pronounced them, would not this world be changed? This is what Pete calls a zipper song. He zips one word out and zips a new one in. All the rest remains the same, so that you can sing it. Words, words, words. In Tom's declaration, how much of truth remains? If I only understood them, and if my life pronounced them, would not this world be changed? Words, words, words. In that old Bible, how much of truth remains? If I only understood them, and if my life pronounced them, would not this world be changed? Words, words, words. In songs and stories, how much of truth remains? If I only understood them, and if my life pronounced them, would not this world be changed? Words, words, words. Appleseed number 9, songwriting. When my mother once asked me to write a song for her father, my grandfather, who died, I was surprised. Why does she think I know how to write a song? I wrote poems occasionally for the school magazine, but they weren't worthy of being songs. But then I met Woody, And I got the idea you could write songs. So first I tried putting new words to old tunes, which is what he did, and found that I was better at putting new tunes to old words. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to reap. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to laugh, a time to weep. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to gain, a time to lose. A time to rend, a time to sow. A time to love, a time to hate. A time of peace, I swear it's not too late. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time for every purpose under heaven. And finally, Appleseed number 10, songs. Two things you gotta do is sing in your local community and communicate with the rest of the world. We have a duty to inform ourselves. And when you inform yourself, you want to communicate what you learn. I think it's a mistake to think that any music doesn't have a message of some sort. Some music has a message that says, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And many musicians really sincerely feel that's the sum of an intelligent response to life. I'll admit there's a grain of truth to it. Some music has a message saying that there's hope to make things better here on earth. And others say that your only hope is that after death there will be eternal joy and pleasure if you say the right words in the right places. I don't argue with people who feel that way. If I had a hammer, hammer in the morning, I'd hammer in the evening, all over this land. I'd hammer out danger, I'd hammer out a warning. I'd hammer out love between my brothers and my sisters, all over this land. Plato, the Greek philosopher, said that for the good of the state, it was very important that the music which was heard by the people should be of the right kind, because the wrong kind of music could be very destructive. If I had a bell, I'd ring it in the morning, I'd ring it in the evening, all over this land. I'd ring out danger, I'd ring out a warning. I'd ring out love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land. Songs, they tell of love of man and woman and parents and children, love of country, freedom, beauty, mankind, the world, love of searching for truth and other unknowns. But of course, love alone is not enough. Ammon Hennessy once wrote, "Love without courage and wisdom is sentimentality, as with the ordinary church member. Courage without love and wisdom is foolhardiness, as with the ordinary soldier. Wisdom without love and courage is cowardice, as with the ordinary intellectual." If I had a song, I'd sing it in the morning, I'd sing it in the evening, all over this land. I'd sing out danger, I'd sing out a warning. I'd sing out love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land.
Some people sing because they're so happy they can't stop. Some sing to keep their spirits from going 5 miles below hell. And some sing just to keep their courage up. Well, I've got a hammer, and I've got a bell, and I've got a song to sing all over this land. It's the hammer of justice, it's the bell of freedom. It's the song about love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land.
Please open your order of service and you'll find the words, I'm going home to help my neighbor, going home to do my part. Love depends on peace and justice. Peace begins in my own heart.